Behold him, the risen Savior. Did you hear the words in there, the one line, that he is in this place today? The Lamb, the roaring lion, the creator of all things is in this place today. And what a joy it is to worship him, even a little bit differently than normal. To not have the words on the screen is a little bit different, isn't it? Isn't it funny how far we've come with technology that when we don't have it, it can be refreshing at times to kind of go back to the thing. And I also noticed that as some were walking in today, there was this confusion on our face. And a couple of people almost tried to sit down in the middle of the aisle because the section was gone. But there was a wedding that was here yesterday, so this was set up for that time. But we're glad you're with us this morning. And in light of the changes that are here, I think it's good for us to be stretched every once in a while. But God is good. Again, I want to just let you know, remind you that this next week, your pastors and elders are going to be at Elders and Wives Retreat at the next weekend. And that's why Steve and Wendy will be here sharing with you. And we would ask that you would be in prayer for us as we gather together, as we meet, as we talk, as we look ahead to the future of what God may have for us here at Plymouth Alliance Church. But we'll be praying as well for you as you engage in worship next week. But that'll be exciting, and we're looking forward to that. Let's open this time with a word of prayer. Father, as we open your word together, we come with a sense of anticipation of what your words will do to our heart. Lord, if we came in today distracted, would you remove the distractions of our heart? If we came in with concerns or worries, Lord, would you help us to lay those at your foot and to just focus on you for these moments? And Lord, may your word penetrate deep into our hearts today. In your name we pray. Amen. Light is a very important thing. Without light, well, we'd have a lot of problems. I mean, imagine if we didn't just not have the projector today, but there was no lights. It would be an interesting service to have, but the sun would have helped a little bit. But we probably have hardly dealt without lights in our lifetime. Even most of us, we have cell phones that have a flashlight on it. So if everything else goes dark, we can at least turn on our flashlight on our cell phone and find our way around. Light is extremely important. I was actually reading a story recently about an old farmer. This guy was a hardworking farmer, and he was raised in the time, and he was living during the time of where you didn't have the normal electricity ability like we had. So that he would have to go around with a lantern. But this was a miserly farmer, and he did not like to waste anything. So his mode of thinking was, when the sun came up, you woke up and you started work. When the sun went down, you went to bed and slept until the sun came up. And that's how he lived his life. Well, he had a young hired hand that worked for him, and this young hired hand was dating a young lady, and so because he had to work all day for this old farmer, he would go and see the lady that he was dating when it was dark. And so he would take a lantern and he would go, and the old farmer just kept on giving him a bad time about this. And so the young man one day was getting ready, and afterwards he lit the lantern, and the old guy just jumped on him one more time, and he said, "Why do you have to do that? When I was courting my wife, I never took a lantern. I just went in the dark, and we didn't use all of that." And after hearing that so many times, the young man just looked at him and said, "Yeah, and look what it got you." Light can be very important at times. And so this morning we want to look at light. We want to look at a passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 8 about what we are to do with the light. Now, if we look at, you know, just light in general, without it, we stumble. Without it, we can fall. Without it, we lose things. Without light, we may miss details that would be important. And Jesus is talking about this in Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 16, just a couple of verses as we look to this, if you have scripture. And one of the things I would encourage you is, if you have a Bible that we'll be using them this morning, you have the bulletin as well. The different passages that we'll be looking at will be there, and I'd encourage you to keep your eye on that and jump ahead of us so that you can find those locations in your Bibles. But we'll be looking at the text in Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 16. It says, "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in and see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them." So Jesus gives us this simple, short parable, in a sense. And this is a simple cultural thing that we can all understand that brings us a simple truth. And I'm going to tell you this morning, this is not a deep message. This is probably a message that we've heard before many times, but it's one I feel that needs to be repeated again. Jesus says, don't take this light. You have a light. Now, if we have this light, what is this light that we have? Is it the lights that we see? Is it the phones? In that culture of the time, of course, they didn't have a light switch. They couldn't flip a switch and the light would go on. They would carry these clay lanterns, and they would fill it with olive oil, and they would light it, and that would be what they would use to light the home. And so around the house, they would have several of these clay lanterns that would be on ledges and different things in the house, giving light to it. So Jesus here is taking an everyday item and bringing a spiritual truth to it. And he says to him, he goes, here's what the deal is. You have the light. Now, the light is not a physical light. The light is the gospel message of Jesus. And he's saying it's the story of Jesus. You have this light that you have a choice on what you can do with it. You can choose different aspects of what you want to do with this story of Jesus. And he says the first one is pretty simple. You can hide it. You can take that light and hide it. And Jesus kind of puts it into a kind of a ridiculous statement. He says, no one lights a lamp and then hides it under their bed or puts a basket over it. Nobody, who would do such a thing? And you kind of get this picture that as Jesus is standing there talking to the crowd that he's talking with, they were probably going, yeah, that's ridiculous. Nobody would do that. Who would take a lamp, light it at night, and then hide it somewhere? It's pointless. You wouldn't want to do that. So Jesus is bringing this, is like, it really isn't an option, but in a sense it is an option. You can choose to do this with the light. And Jesus is saying, this is where it's at. You have a choice of what you do with me, with the gospel message, with the message that I'm bringing to you. And in that time and in that day, that was a fairly common thing that would happen. A lot of people followed Jesus, however, a lot of them did it at a distance. And they would say, you know, I'm curious as to what he's doing, but I don't know if I want to go all in. And I don't think I want people to know that I'm curious about this Jesus. For example, there's a great story in John chapter 3 about a gentleman named Nicodemus. Now, in John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, and of course, we all know this is that great story, that great discussion that he has with Nicodemus about being born again. John 3:16, does anybody know that verse? Yeah, we kind of know that one. That's a pretty popular one. And Jesus is sharing that with Nicodemus. Now, we go, why did Nicodemus come to Jesus at night? Was it just a chance happening that they were walking along the road in opposite directions, ran into each other, and all of a sudden Jesus and Nicodemus strike up this conversation? No. As a matter of fact, if we look at who Nicodemus was, we begin to see the reason why this meeting took place at night. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Nicodemus was one of the Jewish leaders of the time. And if we understand, the Jewish leaders did not like Jesus at all, right? They hated him. Well, Most of them hated him. There were a few within the Pharisees that were curious about Jesus. They saw who he was and they heard his teachings and they're going, you know, I'd really like to know more about this. Nicodemus, no doubt, had been there during the daytime as they were trying to trap Jesus in their conversations. He had seen and heard Jesus many times as he spoke, as he taught. And all of a sudden, Nicodemus is going, I need to know a little bit more about this guy. And so at night, he comes to Jesus because he knows that if he were to approach Jesus with the questions that he had to ask, it would not be well for him. Because the other Pharisees would see, and they're like, what are you doing? Why are you asking those questions? Why are you curious about what he's doing? And all of a sudden, this could have been career suicide for Nicodemus to come and speak with him. Again, this was a common thing to happen. Many people heard the truth, but when it came down to it, they couldn't stand with Jesus. It would be too hard. The cost was too much. They'd rather follow at a distance than actually let that light shine. Jesus kind of starts it out, why would somebody light a lamp and then hide it? Is that really a common thing to do? In Mark chapter 8, verse 38, Jesus makes some pretty pointed words. And he says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with his angels. I don't know about you, but that's a very scary passage to me. You get what he's saying? If you take this light and if you hide it because you're embarrassed of me, that's the same thing that I'm going to do. As a matter of fact, he kind of reiterates this, says it in a little different way in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, he said, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do you see the light that we carry? People back then, they hid the light at times, and now we have this message. We have the full story. At that time, when Jesus was telling the story, understand, all that they had was what he was telling them. Today, we have the full gospel message. We have everything from creation to Jesus coming, from the fall of man coming, dying on the cross, rising from the grave as we just finished celebrating, going to be with God the Father in heaven and knowing that he will return. This is the message that we have. And he says to us, who would take this message and who would hide it? The message that we give or don't give shows how we feel about Jesus. You get what he's saying here. What do you do when the opportunity arises? When there comes an opportunity for a spiritual conversation, and all of a sudden we're hit with this, oh boy, what do I do? What do I do? Someone's they're going down this path, and what I don't want is I don't want them to think that I'm this Bible thumper. I don't want them to think that I'm a crazy Christian guy and all I do is go to church and sing songs about Jesus all day long. And we kind of maybe get into this panic. And so what do? We all of a sudden find a way, let's change the conversation. You know, someone comes up to, maybe they say, hey, what's your plans for the weekend? What are you going to do this weekend? And you start thinking like, well, okay, what are we going to do this weekend? Well, you know, I'm probably going to do some work in my yard, and I'm going to fix a couple of my yard things in the garage. And, you know, I think on Sunday, my family and I, we're going to go to the lake and hang out as the family. And you just glaze right over anything spiritual. Because it's just too much. You see, when we do that, that's taking that light and we're putting a bowl over it. And we're saying, I don't want to go there. Jesus in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Why do you sing songs of praise? You know, behold him, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion, the joy in the house of the Lord today." And we sing those songs and we're sitting there and he goes, "Why do you say these things? But when the real opportunity comes for that light to shine brightly, you kind of turn it down a little bit." You see, we have the choice. The choice is ours that we can choose to hide it. But really, is that effective? Jesus then says, he goes, "No, that's not a good option." He says, "The second option is a little bit better. The second option is let your light shine." He says, "You know what? What happens, actually, you don't put it under the bed. You don't put it on a bowl over the top of it." He says, "You put it on the lampstand." Why? "So that everybody in the house can see it. Because it brings light." Lynn and I like to go camping every once in a while. And we're still in the tent camping part of it. Someday. But you know what's interesting is when you're camping in a tent, you don't have a light switch. You don't just open up there and you just flip a switch and the lights in the whole tent come on, right? You have to bring with you the light source. And so we have, you know, one of these kind of new lantern type flashlight things. You click it 20 times and it does 20 different things. But in our tent, right in the center of the tent, on the ceiling, there's this loop. Just a simple loop. You know what that loop is for, right? To dry your clothes. No. Actually, what it is we can take that. Our light has this hook on it. We hook it through it and actually brings light to the whole tent so we both can see what we're doing. If you remember those days when you didn't have those handy little hooks and stuff like that, you're trying, you know, you got your flashlight in your mouth and you're trying to rifle through things, and then you drop it and it falls in your sleeping bag and it's pitch black. And I mean, it's a pain. But if you can hang it in the center, in the highest place, all of a sudden you have light that penetrates the whole space and actually is beneficial for everybody. And that's what Jesus says. He says, when you let your light shine, you have this opportunity for everybody around you to see that story. You have the opportunity for everybody to know that there is something different about you. I love Paul. Paul never questioned this. In Romans 1:16, great, if you go there, if you have a highlighter, highlight it, because I think this is one of the greatest verses in Scripture about letting your light shine, other than Jesus saying, "You are the light of the world, let it shine." But Paul here, look at what he says. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Why? "Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." You know, this story that we have, now, there's the story of Scripture, but then there's the story of what Jesus has done in your life, is too great for us not to tell. And he says, "I'm not ashamed of this story because I know that the story has the power to change." Let me tell you something. I don't have the power to change anybody's life. You don't have the power to change anybody's life. Okay? Let's let that go. It's the gospel that has the power. And Jesus is saying, this is the light that you have to shine. And as you take this light penetrates the darkness and makes an impact. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. This is where Jesus tells us to let our light shine. Look at what he says there. "In the same way, let your light shine before others." Now, he doesn't just stop there. He doesn't just say, just let your light shine. He actually gives us the reason why. And he continues and says, "that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Now, I love this because it is very common for us, and I know I do this at times, that when there's this opportunity that seems to be presenting itself, that it's easy for me to go, "They really don't care. They really don't want to hear what I have to say." And as a matter of fact, this is just going to fall on dead ears, and they're going to walk away unchanged by anything. That's Pete talking. Jesus says this, if you let your light shine, if you let the story of what Jesus has done in your life shine through you, you know what? They will see what God has done. And I love how he says it, and they will glorify your Father which is in heaven. In other words, it's going to make a difference. When you let your light shine, it will make an impact. Paul even takes it a little bit further, and he gives us another reason as to why it's good to let our light shine in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. He says, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." What an incredible thing. You know, as we live in Christ, we are children of the light and simply just need to just put that light on the lampstand and let others see the light. The more that we live this light, the more that others will see it, the more that they will be drawn to the light, the more they will be curious about the light. Peter even continues in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. What a great way of letting our light shine. "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." You know what's interesting is I find that most times when we live that, when we are ready to give an answer, we're not going out there, we're not knocking doors down, telling, you know, we're not tackling people. But when we're just prepared to give a reason for the hope that we have, you know what? When we're walking with that light shining, just living out what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, people become curious and they come to you and they're like, "How can you live like that?" And what's interesting is oftentimes the question is, how are you able to go through those difficult times the way that you do? How are you able to deal with the disease that you have or the sickness that you have, the medical problems that you have? How are you able to lose a loved one like that? And you seem to have so much strength in what you're doing. You see what you're doing is in your life, you're letting that light shine and people see it. And what they do is they're saying, "I want to know what makes you different than anybody else." And understand, they want to know. My mind tells me they don't want to know, but they do want to know. That's why we always are prepared, why we are always holding that lamp out there, always shining it for all to see, because people will ask. But Jesus kind of takes it even a little, you know, we can hide it, we can shine it, you know, we can just kind of, you know, "Oh, yep, this is my light, and here I am, I'm walking around with it." But then there's also an additional part to it. We can multiply the light. We can take this light and not just have it for ourselves where we walk, but we can take it and move it beyond ourselves. Look at verse 18 of the text of this morning in Luke chapter 8. Notice what he says here. He says, "Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." Now, what's interesting about this is as you read that passage, this is a passage of Scripture that I would say has been taken out of context more times than not. This is a passage where I've heard people refer to this and they're like, you know, "He who has been given more will be given to him, and he who has not much will be taken away from them." And this is oftentimes put into either the material possessions or in our talents. If you don't use your talents, then you're going to lose them. If you don't use your possessions for the Lord, then you're going to lose them. But again, if we put this in text, in context of where we're at, what's Jesus talking about? He's talking about the light. And he's saying, you have the light. The light is in you. If you have Christ as your Lord and Savior, the light is in you, and you have a choice on what you want to do to that light. And he says it in this way, "Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them." This is multiplication. multiplication or elimination, if you want to put it this way. But what Jesus is saying is the more we let our light shine, the greater the impact it will be, and the greater that light will spread. And that a light will shine far beyond what we can imagine. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 9, 6, Paul says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously." This goes right alongside with it. The more that we let our light shine, the more we put it out there for all to see, the more that a harvest will be a result of it. The more that we will see lives impacted because of it. The more that people will come to know Him. I love a video that we watched several years ago. Bruce Wilkerson was his name, and I probably shared this story before, but it really impacted me when he told this story. He was telling a story about an old gentleman, loved the Lord, and he was just a very simple guy, he said. Most people would have looked over him and really not even thought twice about this guy. This gentleman one day was walking down the road, the sidewalk, and there were four boys that were on the sidewalk playing marbles. And he just said, "Do you mind if I join?" And he gets down and he's telling this, you know, as he tries to get down, this old man getting down to the ground, and he starts and he's playing marbles with the boys. Talking to them, having fun, laughing with them. And the old man finally invited them and he says, "Why don't you guys come to my Sunday school class on Sunday?" And so on Sunday, those four boys attended a Sunday school class and they built a relationship with this old gentleman, and they, all four of them, came to know Christ, and then all four of them began to live that way, even to the point where a couple of them at the least had actually entered into ministry. And this guy, Bruce Wilkerson, he goes, "I want to show you this law of multiplication." He says, "Here was this one man who impacted four lives. And these four lives impacted," and he starts doing this chart that flows down, and he says, "You understand that one man, his faithfulness in letting his light shine, probably impacted thousands and thousands of people that he never met. He multiplied his life." You see, as we let our light shine, with the purpose of actually lighting someone else's lantern, that begins to spread and it begins to multiply. But notice what Jesus also says there. He says, "He who does not have, even what they have, will be taken away." Now, what does this mean? I mean, is this saying that if I don't let my light shine, then I lose my salvation? Or what's this saying? Well, understand the concept here. There is the idea of you use it, it kind of keeps going, but if you don't use it, you lose it. You know, probably a good way to look at it is in a talent or something like that. Some of you, anybody here artistic? You like drawing? Wow. All right. Everybody's very... All right. Actually, maybe this is perfect. How many of you, when you were kids, were artistic? You loved to draw. See, now they're okay, that's great. Because now what happened is, as we grow older, we stop doing it, right? And as we stop doing it, what happens? We lose it. The effectiveness of what we were doing can be gone. We've been talking about light. Think about it in this way also. You have a flashlight. Have you ever done this before, where you have a flashlight and you put it away and you don't touch it for about 2 years? You know what? I didn't use it. That battery should still be great. Everything should work, you know, and it should all of a sudden, I should be able to walk over there, turn it right on, and that thing should work just like a charm. Does it work? Why not? It's interesting to me that as I use a flashlight, the more that I use a flashlight, sure, I'll have to replace the battery or I have to recharge it, maybe have to replace a bulb every once in a while, but as long as I'm using that flashlight, it will continue to give light day after day after day after day after day. But I can take a brand new flashlight, I can put it in a box, and I could let it sit there for 2 years, and when I come back in 2 years, that flashlight will be absolutely useless. It will never light up again. Why? Because the battery inside of it, the power that was inside of it, couldn't stay in there, and it corroded. The battery bursts open, and all of a sudden you have corrosion all over inside of that flashlight, and it corrodes the points. It takes the wires are all done. That flashlight, the only thing it's good for is to be thrown away. Do you see the correlation here? When we have this message of Jesus Christ that is so incredible, if we don't share it, what begins to happen is we begin to lose, little by little, that desire to share it. Until all of a sudden, we don't even think about it anymore. We can walk up to a person and they could be hurting, and we're like, oh man, I hope everything goes well for you, man. When right there, we could have told them about Jesus' love. But because what we didn't use, we ended up losing that. That's why Paul says in Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at a proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And that's the exciting part of it, because the more that we let our light shine, the more that we reap a harvest, multiplication begins to happen. And the more we see that, you know what happens to our light when we see those things happen? It burns brighter. All of a sudden, there's this sense of, I can do more, I can reach more people, I can talk to other people, and it becomes contagious, and all of a sudden, you have lights that are starting to spread, and this harvest happens. Why? Just simply because we decided to let our light shine for people to see. Again, Paul in Colossians 1:10, he says these words to the church in Colossae, that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. He says this is the whole idea, bearing fruit. As you let your light shine, you will reap a harvest. And in the verses right before it, Paul is saying, this is what we do. We pray for you to be filled with the knowledge of God, so that, I love it, we pray that you would be filled with the light of God, so that you can go and shine the light of God. And as you shine the light of God, you will experience fruit that goes beyond what you can imagine. Let your light shine. Multiply your light. We all have light. If you have heard the message of Jesus this morning, and you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you this, you have a lantern that you're carrying. You have a choice. You can take that light and you can cover it up and walk just like everybody else. Or you can let that light shine. Remember that song we used to sing in Sunday school? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it. Oh yeah? Remember the last verse? Let it shine till Jesus comes. If I'm going to let it shine, I'm going to put it out there on the lampstand for all to see. And you know what? If I let it shine till Jesus comes, it will reap a harvest. And we will multiply. We can choose to hide it. We can choose to shine it. We can choose to multiply what we have been given. Use your lamp. Friends, this is the reality of the world in which we live. It's dark out there. And we have the one light that can penetrate that darkness. Will you take the light of Jesus Christ and shine it where He sends you this week? Don't let your lamp go out before you have brought it to others. Keep the light going. And as we close, let me ask this simple question. Where do you need to shine the light of Jesus this week? Who needs to see your light? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the light. We thank You for the message of Jesus Christ, that You have changed our lives. And now we have this opportunity to take this light and to shine it for all the world to see. Lord, may we not be ashamed of the message of Jesus Christ and hide it. As we used to sing, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. And we'll let it shine till Jesus comes, to your glory, to your honor, and for your kingdom purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.